The reading is taken from the Gospel as told by St. John, and it's chapter 15, beginning at verse 9, and it's on page 1083 of these maroon Bibles, if you've got one. That's page 1083. As the Father has loved me, so I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Bill. Well, we continue our series in Sports Life this week. I have to say, I do feel just a tad intimidated after Tom's sermon last week and all the accounts of his marathon running and then plunging into wheelie bins of ice-cold water and all of that. I do enjoy a gentle swim in a warm swimming pool occasionally. But the picture or metaphor of running the race is one that appears in Scripture really quite a lot, and it's quite a helpful picture. And this week we're looking at the theme of sportsmanship. And sportsmanship is about, of course, how you play the game or how you run the race. It brings to mind words like self-control, integrity, honesty, character. And sadly, we can all think of sort of high-profile examples of bad sportsmanship, like... Oh, got a new clicker. Like Luis Suarez, an amazing footballer, fantastic footballer, but he's unable to control himself, so he ends up biting people. He just sees a sort of red mist comes up, and he gets so angry that he bites people. Can you believe that? An adult. Incredible. And good sportsmanship requires self-control, something to hold back those dark impulses. And then there's the cyclist, Lance Armstrong. 7 years consecutively, he was the Tour de France champion. But he took drugs in order to do so, and he was found out. And Mo Farah's manager is... under question at the moment, isn't it? And we hope that that isn't true, and also hope that Mo Farah is not involved in drug taking. And then we have the FIFA president, Sepp Blatter, who seems to be completely deluded about his whole life and what is expected of him, and he's now resigned. But an amazing thing there. So sportsmanship is about character, isn't it? And character is not something that is formed on the surface of a person, but in their heart. That's where character is formed. Character comes not by trying, but by training. It's training that grows character, not trying. Tom talked about marathon running last week. And if I went off to the door now and I ran out of the door and I started a marathon, it wouldn't matter how determined and how earnest and how serious I was and how hard I tried, I would need an ambulance before I got to the end. I really would. But if I trained properly over a number of months, you know, I would be able to do it. Eventually, perhaps after a day or two, I would arrive at the finishing tape. I could do it with training. Training brings success. Trying, just trying, brings failure. Or imagine for a moment you find someone really annoying. Can you imagine someone in your mind? Don't look at them, because that will give it away. So you've got someone in your mind. Now imagine that that person had to come and stay in your house, assuming, of course, it isn't your husband or wife at this point, that person had to come and stay in your house. Perhaps they'd been flooded out or something like that, so it's an emergency, they come to stay in your house. And you can imagine somebody else saying, well, you know, you're really going to have to try really hard to be on your best behaviour. No sharp comments, no playing on your phone rather than talking to them or hiding behind the newspaper. It's going to be tough. And imagine your first day. I imagine on my first day, you know, I could be really welcoming on the first day. In fact, I could surprise myself about how welcoming I am to this person, feeling sympathetic. They've been flooded out of their house. They've had to come to stay. So first day, great. Second day, fine. Third day, they're beginning to relax. And it's beginning just to annoy you just that little bit. They're filling your space. After a week, you're trying to be patient. Hope I'm not the only one who's like this, but anyway. You're trying to be fat. Day 10, you pop, bang, and you bite them, at least metaphorically, if not actually in practicality. Now, trying doesn't work, does it? I suppose trying is better than not trying, isn't it? Let's face it, it's worth trying. But, you know, trying is just having the outer barriers up to stop what's inside bursting out. What we really need to change is we need to change the inside, don't we? We need the heart to change so that all those feelings are not bursting out, but instead of that, there is love in the centre. Well, we can't change our hearts, but Jesus can. We've used a diagram once before. This is very often what we do. When we're trying, that's what we do. It's me, and I think if I put a real effort, then, you know, I can have a good life. I can have the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. If I try really hard, I'm going to get there. But, you know, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And Jesus isn't in that picture. So that's not the model that we need to use. What we need to use is this model, training. And when we train in righteousness, then our effort is put into knowing Jesus more deeply, loving him more deeply, becoming more discipled by him. And the relationship of love feeds our hearts and changes us from the inside out. We need to know Jesus better. And we need to press into his love. Jesus said in verse 9 of that passage that we read, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. You know, we can read over that little verse because the love that's being talked about here is the love between the Father and the Son. And Jesus loves us with that love. You know, the love between the Father and the Son is pure and perfect and powerful. And that love is available to you. It's potent, life-transforming love. It's being connected with God. The very love of the Trinity is available to bathe you, to transform you, to change you. Jesus says, remain, abide, come into my love. That's so much better than my puny efforts at trying. So how do we remain, abide, stay close to God's love? Well, you know, our base human nature will try to get us to do anything other than that. Doesn't matter what it is, our base human nature will try to slough off one way or the other. And Satan, the devil, will also tempt us from the outside to try and get us to slough off, to move away from Jesus. So we need to develop spiritual muscle in order that we can resist that, so that we can draw on Jesus and his love. And so we need time with him. You know, when you spend time with a person, you begin to become like them. And when we spend time with him, then we begin to bear fruit, his fruit. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. That's spending time with God. And then from that, love your neighbor as yourself. As we love God, we're able to love others, because he expands our hearts and he expands our love. It's not trying to be good, but training to know God that will change us. And training requires spiritual discipline, doesn't it? We need to put time and effort and energy into really knowing Jesus and allowing him to fill us with his love and his spirit. I have to say, I've always found that phrase, you know, spiritual disciplines, rather unappetizing, rather unattractive. You know, it conjures up pictures for me of spiritual discipline, of monks in habits and sort of rather long, joyless services with lots of words in them and that sort of thing, a legalistic approach to things where we bash ourselves and beat ourselves up until we get better for God and we do something good for God. That's what it conjures up for me. So I've changed it, and I want to change the phrase to spiritual disciplings, because I find that more helpful. Because what it is God disciples us to be closer to him through these things. We become disciples through these things. And the point of spiritual disciplings is to bring us into the presence of God, to make room for him to change us from the inside out. We become like him. He becomes flesh in us, so that when people see us, they see Christ-like things in our lives. Wow, wouldn't that be amazing? That's what we want. The marks of Christ-like character. It's a wonderful list. Love, integrity, courage, servanthood, compassion, truth, faith, forgiveness, humility. What a wonderful list of things to be made flesh in me and in you. And you know, we all know that we need to read the Bible. We need to spend time in prayer and meditating with God, meditating on Scripture. We all know that we need to be doing acts of mercy and compassion and hospitality. But often, we don't really know how, do we? You know, so often people say, oh, you need to do more of this, that, and the other. But actually, how you do it can be really difficult. And so I want to suggest a book for you to read. The thing is that we all need to do these things in different ways. So you can't do a sort of talk from the front about how you do spiritual disciplines. We need to spend time perhaps just reading and meditating before God. And there's a really brilliant book, which is called Life You've Always Wanted by John Ortberg. How many people have read this book? Ah, it's a few of us. That's brilliant. It is a brilliant book. I just keep going back to it. You know, there's some books that you read and you think, oh, yes, fine. You put it on your shelf and never read it again. There are some books that you read and you read and read. And for me, this is a book that I've found so helpful, because it's not about hair shirts and monks and things like that. It's really life-giving in the way it teaches, but it leads you further into the presence of Jesus. And I've put details of the book on the notice sheet on the bottom of the third page. And you might like to get this book and perhaps read it over the summer. It'll take you a while to read it. It's a really easy read, but it's not a shallow book. And he writes extremely well. It's called The life you've always wanted, spiritual disciplines for ordinary people. I'm an ordinary person. I need that. And it's about training to know Jesus and to know his love and to know his power. Jesus said in John 15, our passage, "If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete." That's what happens when we have these spiritual disciplings in our lives. His joy is in us and our joy is complete. I want more of that, don't you? I'm going to ask you some questions now. What we're going to do is we're going to have a time of quiet. I'm just going to ask you some questions and leave some times of silence for you to just think and respond in your heart. And then I'll finish with prayer. So let's just relax, be quiet, maybe close your eyes if that helps you. First, what are you doing at the moment to build spiritual muscle? What are you doing to build spiritual muscle? Are there things that you want to change in your life? Are you just trying yourself, trying really hard? Or is there training that you could do to bring you closer to Jesus? What will you change to enable that? How will you train? What will you read? How will you engage with God? Lord, we thank you for your amazing love. We thank you for the love between Father and the Son, the pure, perfect, powerful love that is available to us, that can fill our hearts. Lord, we thank you that your joy may be in us and our joy may be complete. Lord, we thank you that you love us with an unending, incredibly deep love, that that is the fountain of everything else in our lives. Thank you, Lord, that you are here right now. So, Lord, we just want to receive your love. Lord, as we worship together now, may we just offer ourselves back to you. Fill us, Lord. Deepen us, stretch us with your love. May your joy be in us and our joy be complete. In Jesus' name, amen.